good morning, church family. We're really glad that you're able to join us this morning for our Sunday online service. Well, we've got a number of great things in store for you today. We've got a number of people, quite a few people actually, doing a number of scripture readings for us, interspersed with some more Easter reflection. And a little bit later on, we've got Aidan Sammy sharing his testimony with us. And I know that you're just going to be so blessed and so encouraged by that. And so do stay tuned and really hope that you'll find this a real blessing and an encouragement to your spirits this morning.
Kia ora, church whānau. My reading comes from Matthew 21, 1 to 5. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they all approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage. It was on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent out two disciples. He said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you will find a donkey tied up. Her colt will be with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them. The owner will send them right away." This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet would come true. It says, "Say to the city of Zion, see, your king comes to you. He is gentle and riding on a donkey. He is riding on a donkey's colt." Zechariah 9:9. Ka kite.
Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 to 11. The disciples went and did what Jesus told them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt. They placed the coats down for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their coats on the road. Others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Some of the people went ahead of him, and some followed, and they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed be is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole crowd was stirred up. The people asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus. He is a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
26:14-16. Judas agrees to hand Jesus over. One of the 12 disciples went to the chief priest. His name was Judas Iscariot. 50. He asked, "What will you give me if I hand Jesus over to you?" So they counted out 30 coins for him. From then on, Judas watched for the right time to hand Jesus over to them.
Hi guys, my name is Robin Ballard. I hope, for those who don't know who I am, I hope you are all coping with our lockdown. We do appreciate you and the opportunity to read these words from our bubble to your bubble. My reading today is from Matthew 26:17-19, the Lord's Supper. It was the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread. The disciples came to Jesus. They asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover meal?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man, tell him, the teacher says, my time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover at your house with your disciples." So the disciples did what Jesus had told them to do. They prepared the Passover meal.
When evening came, Jesus was at the table with his 12 disciples. While they were eating, he said, "What I'm about to tell you is true. One of you will hand me over to my enemies." The disciples became very sad. One after the other, they began to say to him, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord, do you?" Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will hand me over. The Son of Man will go, just as it is written about him. But how terrible it will be for the one who hands him over, the Son of Man. It will be better for him if he had not been born." Judas was the one who was going to hand him over. He said, "Surely you don't mean me, teacher, do you?" Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and broke it. He handed it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body." Then he took a cup. He gave thanks and handed it back to them. He said, "All of you drink from it. This is my blood of the covenant. It is poured out to forgive the sins of many people. Here is what I tell you. From now on, I won't drink wine with you until the day I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives.
Matthew 26:31-35. Jesus says that the disciples will turn away. Jesus told them, "This very night you will all turn away because of me. It is written that the Lord said, 'I will strike the shepherd down, then the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I rise from the dead, I will go ahead of you into Galilee.'" Peter replied, "All the others may turn away because of you, but I never will." "What I'm about to tell you is true," Jesus answered. "It will happen tonight. Before the rooster crows, you will say three times that you do not know me." But Peter said, "I may have to die with you, but I will never say I don't know you." And all the other disciples said the same thing.
Matthew 26:36-46. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. He began to be sad and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sad. I feel close to death. Stay here, keep watch with me." He went a little farther. Then he fell with his face to the ground. He prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. But let what you want be done, not what I want." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray. Then you won't fall into sin when you are tempted. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Jesus went away a second time. He prayed, "My Father, is it possible for this cup to be taken away? But if I must drink it, may what you want be done." Then he came back. Again he found them sleeping. They couldn't keep their eyes open. So he left them and went away once more. For the third time he prayed the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples. He said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is about to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Here comes the one who is handing me over to them."
Hello everyone, it's Rian here. This is very awkward for me. I'll try not to make it too awkward for you. Today I'm reading from Matthew 26:47-56 in the NIV, where Jesus is arrested. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward and seized Jesus and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put to my disposal more than 12 legion of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple court teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has taken place, that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
The reading is from Matthew 27, verses 11 to 26. Jesus is brought to Pilate. Jesus was standing in front of the governor. The governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, you have said so," Jesus replied. But when the chief priests and elders brought charges against him, he did not answer them. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the charges they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge. The governor was really amazed. It was the governor's practice at the Passover feast to let one prisoner go free. The people could choose the one they wanted. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to set free? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate knew that the leaders wanted to get their own way. He knew this was why they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. It said, "Don't have anything to do with that man. He is not guilty. I have suffered a great deal in a dream today because of him." But the chief priests and elders talked the crowd into asking for Barabbas and having Jesus put to death. "Which one of the two do you want me to set free?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What wrong has he done?" asked Pilate. But they shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere. Instead, the crowd was starting to get angry. So he took water and washed his hands in front of them. "I am not guilty of this man's death," he said. "You are accountable for that." All the people answered, "Put the blame up for his death on us and our children." Pilate let Barabbas go free, but he had Jesus whipped. Then he handed him over to be nailed to a cross.
Amen. Matthew 27, verse 27 to 31. The soldiers make fun of Jesus. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the palace, which is called the Praetorium. All the rest of the soldiers gathered around him. They took off his clothes and put a purple robe on him. Then they twisted thorns together to make a crown. They placed it on his head. They put a stick in his right hand. Then they fell on their knees in front of him and made fun of him. "We honor you, King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him. They hit him on the head with a stick again and again. And after they had made fun of him, they took off the robe. They put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to nail him to a cross.
Luke chapter 22, verses 63 to 65. The guards make fun of Jesus. There were men guarding Jesus. They began to laughing at him and beating him. They blindfolded him. They said, "Prophesy."
"Prophesy."
"Who hit you?"
"Who hit you?"
They also said many other things to him to make fun of him.
Today I am going to read a Bible verse, Luke 22, verse 66 to 71. Jesus is brought to Pilate and Herod. At the dawn, the elders of the people met together. These included the chief priest and the teachers of the law. Jesus was led to them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man," and he seated at the right hand of the mighty God, "that all asked "Are you the Son of God then?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more witness? We have heard it from our own lips."
Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 12. Then the whole group got up and led Jesus off to Pilate. They began to bring charges against Jesus. They said, "We have found this man misleading our people. He is against paying taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be the Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate spoke to the chief priests and to the crowd. He announced, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they kept it up. They said, "His teaching stirs up all the people all over Judea. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was from Galilee. He learned that Jesus was from Herod's area of authority. So Pilate sent Jesus to Herod. At that time, Herod was also in Jerusalem. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very pleased. He had been wanting to see Jesus for a long time. He had heard much about him. He hoped to see Jesus perform a sign of some kind. Herod asked him many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there. With loud shouts, they brought charges against him. Herod and his soldiers laughed at him and made fun of him. They dressed him in a beautiful robe. Then they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this time, they had been enemies.
I'm going to read from the book of Luke, chapter 23, starting on verse 13. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man. You said he was turning the people against the authorities. I have questioned him in front of you. I have found no basis for your charges against him. And Herod hasn't either. So he sent Jesus back to us. As you can see, Jesus has done nothing that is worthy of death. So I will just have him whipped and let him go." But the whole crowd shouted, "Kill this man, but let Barabbas go." Barabbas had been thrown into prison. He had taken part in a struggle in the city against the authorities. He had also committed murder. Pilate wanted to let Jesus go. So he made another appeal to the crowd. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate spoke to them for the third time. "Why?" he asked. "What wrong has this man done? I have found no reason to have him put to death. So I will just have him whipped and let him go." But with loud shouts they kept calling for Jesus to be crucified. The people's shouts won out, so Pilate decided to give them what they wanted. He set free the man they asked for. The man had been thrown in prison for murder and for fighting against the authorities. And Pilate handed Jesus over to them so that they could carry out their own plans.
Now we're going to read from Luke 23, verse 26 to 43. Jesus is nailed to a cross. As the soldiers led Jesus away, they took hold of Simon. Simon was from Cyrene. He was on his way in from the country. They put a wooden cross on his shoulders. Then they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed Jesus. Some were women whose hearts were filled with sorrow. they cried loudly because of him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. The time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the women who can't have children. Blessed are those who never gave birth or nursed babies.' It is written, 'The people will say to the mountains, fall on us. They'll say to the hills, cover us.' People do these things when trees are green, so what will happen when trees are dry?" Two other men also led out with Jesus to be killed. Both of them had broken the law. The soldiers brought them to a place called the Skull. There they nailed Jesus to a cross. He hung between the two criminals. One was on his right and one was on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The soldiers divided up his clothes after casting lots. The people stood there watching. The rulers even made fun of Jesus. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came and poked fun at him. They offered him wine vinegar. They said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." A written sign had been placed above him, and it read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there made fun of Jesus. He said, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal scolded him. "Don't you have any respect for God?" he said. "Remember, you are under the same sentence of death. We are being punished fairly. We are getting just what our actions call for. But this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "What I'm about to tell you is true. Today you will be with me in paradise."
John 1:5-10 Walking in the light. Here is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is the light. There is no darkness in him at all. Suppose we say that we share life with God, but still walk in the darkness, then we are lying . We are not living out the truth. But suppose we walk in the light, just as he is in the light, then we share life with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, makes us pure from all sin. Suppose we claim we are without sin, then we are fooling ourselves. The truth is not in us, but God is faithful and fair. If we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. If we forgive every wrong thing we have done. He will make us pure. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar. His word is not in us.
Hi team, Graham here. This morning I'm bringing to you a lockdown liturgy. It's a record of the most important event humanity will ever know. The critics deny it, but they weren't there. The eyewitnesses recorded it, they were there. The historians verify it. The theologians confirm it. And the Christians, well, we embrace it. When all is lost, it is indeed the only hope that we have. These are the words recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the Greek physician. Jesus rises from the dead. It was very early in the morning on the first day of the week. The woman took the spices they had prepared. They went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from it. When they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were wondering about this. Suddenly, two men in clothes as bright as lightning stood beside them. The women were terrified. They bowed down with their faces to the ground. Then the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you he would rise? It was while he was still with you in Galilee. He said, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful people. He must be nailed to a cross. On the third day, he will rise from the dead.'" Then the woman remembered Jesus' words. They came back from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 apostles and to all the others. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and the others with them were the ones who told the apostles. But the apostles did not believe the woman. Their words didn't make any sense to them. Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent over and saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and then he went away wondering what had happened. I trust you will take time to rediscover this ancient historical event and reflect on it. Thank you.
It's a reading now from John chapter 20 and verses 10 to 23. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying, and as she cried, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white. They were seated where Jesus' body had been. One of them was where Jesus' head had been laid, the other sat where his feet had been placed. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they have put him." And then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said, "Sir, did you carry him away? Tell me where you put him, then I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him. Then she cried out in the Aramaic language, "Rabboni." Rabboni means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Instead, go to those who believe in me. Tell him, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She said, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And on the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together. They had locked the doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came in and stood among them. He said, "May peace be with you." Then he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were very happy when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "May peace be with you. The Father has sent me. So now I am sending you." He then breathed on them. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Aidan. Before I start, I would like to thank Pastor Ross for allowing me to share my testimony with you all today. I remember saying to Mum, I want to speak in front of the church one day. Then 2 days later, Pastor Ross sent me an email asking me if I would like to share my testimony. So here I am. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony. So, little backstory. I started going to Easter camp at Mystery Creek in 2012, and the last year I went was in 2016. At the last camp, I was a photographer. It was Sunday, the last night, the night where you can feel the Holy Spirit's presence. Those of you who have been there will be able to relate to this. I was standing up near the front of the stage and had paused for a moment and was in awe of Jesus' power and started to tear up. This random guy saw me standing and came to me and put his hand on me and prayed for me. He said, you have been through heartbreak and disappointment, and it will happen again. But always know God is with you. God, this man has been going through things, but give him your strength to keep on going. After praying, I felt the sense of peace, then proceeded to walk outside of the auditorium, because I thought I would go and take some photos outside. As I took one step out of the door, I felt God's voice say, no. Go back inside, along with this feeling of wanting to stay inside. I saw my friend Isla sitting in the first row with her group. I went and sat with her, and we began talking about how we feel this massive sense of peace being here. Then she asked me, what's your favorite verse? And I said, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Then I said to her, you know what's crazy? I bought this band from a stall at camp that had the word peace on it. Ever since that moment, I've had this peace from God in my life. This is how I gave my life to Christ and started my walk with Him. Keeping the theme of peace going, I was in my last year of high school at Fairfield College. I was head boy. So I had a lot of responsibility. After one of our council meetings, the Māori committee leader came up to me and asked me to help her make a poster. So of course, I said, sure, I'll help you. As we were working on the poster, she asked me, how do you stay so calm in your role? Because you must have a lot going on. I paused and I said, God. God is the one who fills my heart with peace and calms my soul and allows me to fulfill my role to the full potential. She also paused, and that prompted her to say, I need to work on my relationship with God. Fast forward to today, around 8 months ago, in June of 2019, I moved to Auckland with the aspiration of furthering my career. I started working at a major public relations firm, which was an amazing opportunity, as it was in the same line as what I had studied for. Although it seemed like a dream job, I would come home upset and was not happy at all. So after about a month, I decided to quit, basically because I had given up. Times became tough, which put me in a compromising situation, but somehow I made life work on no income. A month later, I got a job working at Platypus Shoes, which was a wonderful job that I truly enjoyed. When it came to January, after the busy period, I started getting less and less hours at work and was really frustrated by that. I came to realize that it was in these frustrating moments I tried to figure out things on my own, times in which I should have stopped and trusted God to continue working in my life. Never once in the Bible does it say, stress about it, worry about it, or figure it out. But time and time again, it says, trust in God. Time goes by, and job-wise, nothing changed. Along with that, the lifestyle in Auckland that I was living was hectic, on the go, and non-stop. I was in a relationship with a girl who wasn't a Christian. She never discouraged me when it came to my faith, as she knew how strong I was in Christ. It was me that lacked motivation and was losing sight of God. Although in the start I didn't think this would be an issue, as I felt I was quite strong in my own faith. As time went on, I started to spend less and less time with God. I never really made time for myself, so throughout my time, I started to lose myself and my relationship with God, and lost track of my health as well. As time went on, I started having this feeling of something just not feeling right. I asked God, "What am I doing? God, get me out of here, or just change my situation." I'd come to realize that this life just wasn't for me, but I was stuck in a rut and didn't know what to do or how to get out of it. I was stressed out to the point where I just wanted to be alone and not be around anyone. At the same time, my mom was praying for me for God to change my situation using these exact words. Keep in mind, I had not told Mom how I was truly feeling about being here in Auckland. Mom told me, after I moved back home, that she had been noticing a change in me when I would come home on the weekends. She also had this uneasy feeling, but didn't know what it was or how to pray for me. She asked the Holy Spirit to show her how to pray, and she prayed, "God, you can see Aiden, and you know his situation. Father, please change Aiden's situation if it isn't of you." And she kept praying this prayer almost every single night. As Mom was praying for me, for God to change my situation, she got the sense of God saying, "I will fill Aiden's heart with my joy again." There have been some days where I still have times where I feel pretty flat, worn out, lethargic, etc. But those hard days have gradually become less and less, and I know God is filling my heart with His joy, just as He had promised Mum. It was in these unfamiliar times where my faith was growing, and it was by the fear that I was facing which allowed my faith to grow even when I didn't realize it. For those of you who don't know, I've had a couple of episodes of seizures in the past. This is when my brain kind of goes into overdrive and my body starts to have muscle spasms which I can't control. So on Sunday, 26th of January, I had my third seizure episode, which put me back into hospital. The lifestyle I was living would have contributed to the seizure this time. I came back home to Hamilton with Mum and Dad and got the sense of peace back that I had lost. And this is why God took me to Auckland in the first place. That was to show me what life is like without Him. He brought me back home to Him. He brought me back into His hands. It's like those big claws at an arcade or even a digger which picks things up and puts them where they should be. God picked me up and put me where He wanted me to be. A couple of weeks later, I was talking to my cousin Noel and told him this, and he said, "Bro, you know what's crazy? Our grandma had said the same thing to him 2 months ago, that God is showing Aiden life without him here in Auckland, and He will bring him back to Himself. Our grandma is a strong Christian woman and a prayer warrior." This was around the time I started feeling like I had to get out of this, and the same time, Mom started praying for me, for God, if it was His will, to change my situation. This blew my mind, but it solidified everything that had happened. Every single step of the way, before or after something small or major has happened, God has been present, and His Holy Spirit has been felt by not only me, but Mum and Dad as well. It has brought us all even closer together, but closer with God as well. that showed me how important it is to have people of faith around you at all times, so you're able to fellowship and grow and then feel encouraged by each other. On 14th of March, Dad's good friend Tony was at home with us. Some of you would have met him as he came to Sunday's church service with us. We were fellowshipping and enjoying being in each other's company. We felt God's presence, and I was in good spirits. In the night time, I received a call that had got me feeling down and upset. This was a Saturday, and on the Sunday, I was going to be singing. I did not let what happened get to me. I did not let it get me down, because I knew the devil was trying to attack me, which had driven me to wake up and go to church. Coming into church, I talked to Pastor Ross about what had happened and told him that this time I was not fazed at all. He told me I wasn't fazed, as my roots were so planted in Jesus that the devil would not be able to sway me. That same day, Pastor Jeff preached on Colossians 2, which talks about our roots being in Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8 says, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. That just blew me away, and it showed me that this situation I'm facing was not a problem, because God showed me he is here and he is in the midst. What blows me away even more is that Frances tapped me on the shoulder and asked me to come and see her before I leave. She said to me, as I walked in for singing practice, she could see a struggle in my face and that I had been going through something. Frances said, "There's always compassion in the struggle." The way she saw me worship with my heart wide open, she saw I had this compassion of Jesus in my life. The choice I made to come to church and still sing on that Sunday morning was super important. I could have stayed at home, still feeling upset, but the fact was that God had already planned my day by placing in my path to encourage me. God puts us through trials and tribulations that make us stronger, hoping it strengthens us in our faith, because faith is something you've got to have before you need it. People expect Christians to have perfect lives, when in reality, God is continuously testing us and shaping us for eternity. God's will isn't ours to understand, hence why we have to continually trust in Him, wherever we are. I want to thank you, my church family, from the bottom of my heart, and for keeping me and all the other youth and children of our church in your prayers. I believe the turnaround in my life is an answer to all of your prayers, and it humbles me to know how much love and care there is in our church family. I witnessed chains that were holding me back, breaking away from my life. Everything that has happened hasn't been smooth sailing. There have been challenges, especially around ending the relationship. I've been through some very hard and sad days. The difference this time, though, was being at home. I have Mum and Dad for moral support. But every step of the way, I have looked back at God and been so thankful for everything He's done for me and what He will continue to do for me. When it comes to relationships, I always thought to myself that it wasn't important to have a partner who is a Christian, but this experience has really opened my eyes that this is one of the most important decisions of my life. If that person doesn't love Jesus, then it creates a barrier and makes it harder for you both to understand each other on a spiritual level. I truly believe I am where I am, but by the grace of God. I know this won't be the last difficult thing that I go through, but I know God is already in my future. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12 says, Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. I have some takeaways for you today. Front up to the consequences of your decisions. Moving up to Auckland and living the lifestyle I was living was my decision. Stick with God, because as I have learned, He sticks with us. We are the ones to walk away from God, so trust in Him that He will guide the way. Pray, 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 pray. Make praying one of your top priorities. Whenever you feel down, happy, nervous, anxious, grateful, unsure, confused, no matter what you're feeling, pause and talk to God. He is always right beside you. We are young, but not invincible, so look after your health and well-being. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 says, "You surely know that your body is a temple where the Holy Spirit lives. The Spirit is in you and is a gift from God. You are no longer your own." Kia kaha, kia maia, kia manawanui. Be strong, be steadfast, be willing. Let us finish with a prayer. If we could all bow our heads, please. Father God, we come before you today and we thank you and glorify your name for giving us all our own testimony. Thank you that when we are going through testing times, you never leave us. You're always right beside us. Help us to always keep our eyes on you and keep our hearts open to allow your Holy Spirit to lead us in our will. Thank you that you use people around us to speak to us and to bless us. God, we thank you for sending your own Son who died on the cross to take away our sins and for bridging the gap between us and you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us in this today. And I just want to say very quickly, just thanks so much to all of those people who were a part of this online service today. I especially want to say thank you to you, Aidan, for your story, your powerful story. And I really hope that those who have listened and have viewed you telling that story will be just so impacted and so encouraged by what you've said. So thank you, everybody, again, for being a part of this today and joining with us until midweek next week. And Karen and I will bring you another update. Just pray God's blessing on you all. Go well.